right. Technology's not my thing. But so this unusual season of life as church family and as church members, and that was a lot of different things for us, and we're going to be in Matthew 5:4 to start with today, the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:4, and just kind of look at the journey that we're on as church family, and exactly as the 14:12 says here that Christ proposes purpose and unites us, and that's not my sermon today, but that scripture is true. Christ unites us. Matthew 5:4 simply reads, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And you know, this is a time of grieving we have as church family to say goodbye to our pastor and family because they become a part of our family. As they leave, it's not like they're no longer part of our family, but there's a disconnect in the relationship, and there's a lot of mixed emotions. Sometimes we're angry because they're leaving. And part of that anger is just a natural part of grieving. We can be mad at God, and He's big enough to take it. You know, why did you call Chris away? We can be angry with other people in the church who we can pinpoint and say, well, maybe you said something to him and led him to this part, this decision. That's not true. He's talked to me about this a few months, and it's nothing about anyone in the church that is causing him to leave. It's God. He feels like his time here is done. And that's hard to take too, because we find ourselves in a bit of a decline as church. A lot of churches now find themselves in a bit of decline. You're in good company, even though we don't like to think that way. But people in our culture, our country, our region, community aren't as interested in godly things as they were 10 years ago. Unless there's a crisis, unless there's something that calls them back to church, then they're not showing up. And I was in a conference yesterday that the leader said that, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, a regular tender was there 2 out of 4 Sundays a month. And now people consider themselves regular attenders if we're there 1 out of 6 Sundays. And so we have a lot of faces in and out, but you guys are the cream of the crop. You came back today. You felt like it was be here. I can talk really loud without the batteries, so. Okay, are we on? All right. We get the full deal again. I won't repeat all that. You can just fill in the blanks if you watch online. All right. And so as we go through life with this anger, what do we do with it? It's an emotion. Well, God tells us in a story in Elijah in 1 Kings 17. So if you want to turn there, fine, and follow along a little bit. I'm not going to read a whole lot out of Elijah, but I'm going to tell it more as a Bible story because most of you are very familiar with it, because it's one of Elijah's one of those figures that made such a huge impact on the Jewish nation and on us today, if we'll let him, that we remember the stories. He was a prophet who appeared out of nowhere. He was a sheep herder, and he came. He pronounced a drought in the land to King Ahab and Queen Jezebel and left. Just that simple. He had no resume as a prophet. He wasn't from a priestly family. He just did what God told him to do and showed up, pronounced judgment, left, and God sent him to a ravine where ravens fed him for a while. And he drank water from the brook, but as the drought continued, the brook dried up. And God then sent him to a widow's house. And as he went to the widow's house, and you'll find that halfway through, he went to the widow's house in Zarephath and went to the widow's house and said, God sent me here and said you'd feed me. And I can just imagine the look this lady gave him, like, really? Seriously, you came to my house? I don't have any food. She said, I have just enough oil and flour to make a cake for my son and I and a little water, and we will cook it for three cakes and we'll drink some water and then we'll die. And Elijah said, no, you're going to care for me. You'll always have enough to eat. The flour never ran dry. The oil never ran dry. The water never ran dry. They continued to eat. And then one day, this lady's son became very ill. And he died. And she went to Elijah and ripped him up and finally said, you're a man of God, you said, and yet did you come here to curse me for all of my iniquity, all of my sins, by killing my son? And Elijah, in turn, gathered the boy up, took him upstairs to what now is known as the prophet's room, because she had a little room upstairs for him. And he said to God, God, why are you doing this to me? I'm standing for you. I'm being faithful to you. And then you kill this woman's son? What possible good can come of this? And he laid on the boy, and the boy came back to life. And as that boy came back to life, Elijah took him to the mom, and he said, our God has given your boy new life. And as we look at our church today, we're grieving, we feel a sense of loss, we can be mad at God, and yet our God has created this church, which Jesus says in the New Testament concept is the bride of Christ. And he says to you and I, there is hope. We're not helpless. But the kind of hope and help that God gives us may not be the kind of help and help we want. For as we grieve, we tend to look at what's in it for us. When Joyce and I's spouses died, we can both attest to this. Grief is the most selfish emotion I've ever felt. It was all about me. It was all about my loss. The loss that was created in the lives of my children, my one grandchild at that time. How it skewed everything in my life. And you see those pronouns that keep coming out? Me, mine, it's all about me. And man, that loss, even today, doesn't define my life, but it affects many of my life decisions still. It makes me make sure that wills and trusts and all that legal stuff is always right where it needs to be. And yet, when we say goodbye to a pastor of a church, it has different implications. It does hurt. We do feel a sense of loss, a sense of abandonment, first by Chris and his family, but secondly, by God. God, why are you doing this to us? Things were going along okay. Yeah, we weren't knocking it out of the park, but we have good fellowship. We love each other. We have a sense of community here within our church family. We care for each other the way we're supposed to. And yet at this season of life, God, it hurts. And so when we decide to try and seek the Lord about next steps, our emotions do get in the way. I found in my life and the lives of pastors through the years that I've counseled that sometimes we get the voice of God confused with our voice. I've had pastors come in and speak to me about it's time to leave their church. And when we start talking about that, it's because of some members maybe giving them a hard time, or there's not enough pay. There's just a lot of reasons ministers find to leave the church, but the only one that counts is God tells you to leave. My retirement's been announced, and the only voice that counted was God saying, Joe, it's time. It's time for you to retire. It's time for you to step out of the way. My next question to God was, okay, I'll retire, but will you still use me to serve you in your kingdom? And his answer was yes, but. Yes, but you have to finish this journey first before I'll tell you what's next. So when you ask me what I'm doing in retirement, I'll give you this like surface answer. I hope to supply, preach, and do some stuff in ministry. We'll travel a little bit, but honestly, don't really know. But I know God will tell me. He'll fill up my time. And the same with you here as a church family. God's not going to roll out a 5-page plan for us for the next few months. What he is telling us is this is going to be a journey of one day at a time and one step at a time. Just like Elijah, we're upset with God. And that's legitimate. Because when we find ourselves in this situation, we cry out to the Lord. And we say, Lord, help us. Help us to understand what's going on here in this life. Help us to get a sense of what you want next. And we do feel hopeless and helpless. And yet, God's in the business of helping the hopeless and helpless. And as a church, God has a plan and a purpose for Grace Baptist Church. I'm convinced of that. I don't know what it is. Maybe some of you already know what it is, and you're just wisely waiting till people are ready to listen. But the next few weeks and really through the end of the year is spent in saying goodbye and preparing for the next steps, a time where you can keep meeting as church family. And you're going to see some people leave, and that's going to hurt even more and to make you question God more, because every time a pastor leaves, people leave. Most of those have been thinking about leaving anyway. And so this is a perfect time to exit. But unless God's told you to leave the church, I encourage you to stay, to remain faithful. You don't have to do everything your church is doing now. You may have to look at the positions, the things that you want to accomplish in church on Sunday morning, and you may have to say, well, we're not going to do some of these things anymore. We're going to focus on doing one or two things really well, and we're going to make it work. As we go forward, we have to look at the life of Elijah, who had just as many ups and downs and emotional times as we do. And yet God continued to work miracles through him. He went from the widow to the mountain to killing the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel says to him, sends a message to him and says, you'll be just like my prophets by the end of the day if I have anything to say about it. And after all that he'd seen God do that day, he took off and ran away. That's emotion. I'm emotionally exhausted. I'm tired. I'm worn out. This is the last straw. I'm out of here, God. And he and his servant went for a ways, and then he left his servant, and he journeyed another several days into the desert where he told God, I'm the only righteous one. Kill me now. And the angel of the Lord came after he'd slept for a while, brought a flask of water, baked him a bread, some bread. Always liked fresh baked bread, you know. Woke him up and said, get up and eat, for the journey is long. Elijah ate, slept. Angel woke him up again. Get up and eat, the journey is long. The third time after he did that, I think Elijah finally said, so where am I going? And the angel of the Lord sent him to the mountain so he could hear the voice of God. As we grieve, it won't take us long to get into a position to hear the voice of God, just like Elijah. We're not sure really how long he stayed out in the desert, but we know he was there long enough that he got in his mindset to hear God's voice. That's hard. Because when we're upset emotionally, things happen in our heads and hearts, it's hard to hear the voice of God. I often think of the disciples after Jesus' crucifixion and then the resurrection. They were still skeptical. They knew his body was gone. They knew what the ladies said they'd saw him, and they gathered to wait, and then when he showed up, they were still a little like, is that really you? Puzzled. Today, when God comes to us, we may have that same question. God, is that really you? I'm a little puzzled by this. I'm not sure what's going on. And so as we grieve the loss and look at how to move forward, God's saying to you and I, each person in this room, about his next steps for us. Some of you, he may give permission to leave and go someplace else, and that'll be sad for the rest. Some, he will say, please hang in there and hunker down. Some, he may say, you need to rise up and be a leader during this time and get uncomfortable. Maybe you'll need to preach once in a while. Maybe you'll need to lead in some area of the church that's new for you, and yet this is something you need to do. For you see, God creates the church to move forward. And so as you move forward with the Lord, you're being asked to take some steps in faith in some uncomfortable ways. I don't have any clue what those are, but I know how God has worked in my life and the works in the life of many other church folks when pastors leave. I was a lay leader in church when our pastor of 27 years left. I was one of the youngest leaders in the church, and I was asked to do things that I was very uncomfortable with, but I felt God urging me to do them, so I did them. Years later, 20 years later, he called me into the ministry. That doesn't mean he's going to call you into the ministry if you stand up and lead now. Don't get nervous. But it does say that God's always at work. He always has a purpose for the church, and the purpose of the church is to love God and love people. And then how we do that is found in evangelism, discipleship, worship, building community, those things. And so the plan that God has for the church hasn't changed. It's just how we do the plan that's going to look a little different. There is great hope for our church here. You look around like I do and you don't see the hope that I see. That's because I'm not really looking at you saying you are the hope, but the Lord is our hope. Those worship songs we sang today are about the power of God, about God moving in our hearts. And when God unleashes his power, it defies human logic. Isn't it amazing? Probably everybody in this room has their own little miracle they've seen God work in their heart. The time when there was a severe illness, or when you were out of money, or relationships were damaged, when things were so off kilter you thought, God, I'm not going to survive this. And yet God did. He spoke, he moved, he worked in your heart, he worked in your situation, and by golly, things turned around. Or if they didn't turn around, you felt the power of God as you walked through them and came out better. And you don't quite understand that because there's still a lot of mystery in God. And yet God says to you and I today, trust me, follow me, love me. I'm going to get you where you need to be. Along the journey, over the next few weeks and months, I'm here to help you in any way I can, even after I retire. Okay? That I will be here for you. I will help you answer questions that you're unsure of how to proceed, I will help you get where you need to be with the Lord, because God is a great God. Elijah went up on Mount Horeb, set through a storm, an earthquake, a couple other things, and then to hear God's voice, he had to be very quiet because it came in a still small voice. When you teach children and the room is chaos, you're taught to de-escalate the noise level, you talk softer. But most of us want to talk louder because that's the natural thing, is to yell over the chaos. But God says, listen closely, lean in. I'm going to share wonderful and mighty things with you. Things you can't fathom when you really turn your heart over to Christ. First thing we have to do as we say goodbye to Christian Abbey is really focus in on the Lord. Personally, every day, pray that God will direct our path. He'll light it, as he says in the 119th Psalm. Thy word is a light unto my, somebody help me out here, path. All right. God's going to light our path. He's going to be a lamp for us, light and lamp. God is always at work. He's always at work in the lives of his people. So our first step, get close to the Lord. Confess the sins that we have. Get in the right relationship with God. Prepare to walk forward with him. And then as he leads and lights that path one step at a time, just keep following him. Because the power of God lights the path of the people of God. And when we follow that lighted path of God, he gets us where we need to be. It takes everyone in this room seeking the Lord, asking God to light our path, spending time in this word every day, talking to the Lord, and then following what he tells us to do. And he will create the harmony and unity to move forward together. Because that's how God works. We move forward together. Elijah had a huge impact on the Jewish nation. For a guy that came out of obscurity, he's still referred to today. Even in Jesus' day, they were looking for Elijah to come back before the Messiah came back. We know, in looking back, John the Baptist was that one like Elijah. But the Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't really get it. So today, as we conclude our service, we're going to spend just 3 or 4 minutes praying silently together. Then I'll lead us in a prayer, and we'll have our final worship song. So just bow with me and pray for 3 or 4 minutes, just right where you are. Lord, we just come before you this morning to express our disappointment in our situation as church family that has Chris and his family are leaving, we're left in a situation where it's hard to move forward, it's hard to stay where we are. And we need your touch, we need your power. We need a sense of you soothing our soul, Lord, and speaking to us today and reassuring, first of all, life goes on, and secondly, that you're a God who loves us and is in charge, and thirdly, God, that you have a purpose and a plan for our church. And it's up to us to seek you and to find out, Lord, our next steps as church family. May we, Lord, commit as individuals to follow you, as individuals, God, to seek you every day, to read your scripture, to spend time praying and listening to you each day. We know, Lord, you're aware of our situation, and yet we ask you to heal our hearts, heal relationships in the church, to give us a clear path forward, Lord, and direct us with your bright light each and every day. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.